First John chapter number 1 and verse number 3. We have been on a couple of Wednesday nights in a row sharing on the subject of fellowship. And I want to get into that again tonight. This has been really a blessing. I've been meditating on this. It's been blessing my life. I don't know if you've been here to the Wednesday night services where we've shared on it. But we're going to go a little different direction with it tonight, because we've been talking about the fact that really the crowning blessing or benefit out of redemption is that we now can go to God. We can fellowship with Him. We can talk to Him, talk things over with Him. And if you know anything about doing this, which I'm sure many of you do, that there's a few things that you prize more. There's few parts of your day that you value more. Paul said he talked about in the Amplified in Philippians, the great advantage, supreme advantage of knowing Him. God didn't just call us to, shake hands with God in the new birth. Hi, my name's Jay. God says, I'm God. Welcome to the family. And then you go the rest of your life never fellowshipping, never talking to Him or getting to know Him. That's not Christianity. Christianity is knowing God. Hallelujah. The Bible says, Jesus said in John 17, verse number 3, He said, this is life that they may know Thee. This is what eternal life is all about. It's not about just being born again, getting a ticket to heaven. That'd be like getting married and then never talking to your spouse. Forget that. Amen. We have a relationship with God through the new birth. We're related. We're connected to Him. But what good is any relationship without fellowship? Basically, it's just something on paper. So, but we want to talk more about this tonight, and I'm convinced, absolutely convinced, that I can get in fellowship with God. I can get any answers I need, any strength I need, any wisdom I need, any help I need, any comfort I need, on and on and on, any strength, healing I need, any direction for making decisions, for financial increase or anything. I can get anything I need from God in fellowship.
Yes, sir.
But it takes faith to do this, because you have to believe. Remember Hebrews chapter 11, verse number 6, he that cometh to God must believe. Talking about in the context of, the chapter 11, verse 5 is talking about Enoch. By faith, Enoch was translated that he should not see death. Isn't that right? And he was not, for God had took him. And then it says in verse 6, but without faith. So it's connecting what it had just said just to the verse 6. Without faith, it's impossible to please Him. He that cometh to God must believe that He is. He's a rewarder of them that diligently seek Him. Enoch, I don't believe, according to Genesis, what is it, 5 something, Genesis? I'd have to look up the verse. But it talks about Enoch there in Genesis. And I don't believe Enoch was believing to be translated. He got translated, but I don't believe that's what he's believing for. According to the book of Genesis, chapter number 5, he was believing to walk with God, to fellowship with God, to know God.
Yes, sir. Amen.
Hallelujah.
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 And it took him out of the realm he was in into another realm. Praise the Lord. I mean, if you'll learn to fellowship with God, it'll take you out of the realm of whatever realm you're in, the realm of worry, the realm of the fear, the realm of, doubt, the realm of, sickness. It'll take you, because God's got answers, and He's got everything you and my and our life need. God's got it.
Amen.
And guess what? Here's the second little line under it. He's ready to share it. He's ready to share it. God is love.
Yes,
He is. And love doesn't just want to hold things to itself. Love wants to bless. It wants to give. It wants to share.
Yes.
Glory. God is love. And He wants to share. And that's what the word fellowship means. It means, if you look it up in the Greek, it means to share in common with somebody else. And we're talking about sharing spiritual things.
Yes, sir.
Amen.
Yes, sir.
Hallelujah. If you help me preach tonight, I'll do better. You didn't just come to fill your space and fill a chair, did you? We I'm very, very guarded and protected of my fellowship with God. That's why I protect who I fellowship with. Because who I fellowship with determines what I fellowship with. Because whatever they're fellowshipping with, I've got to fellowship with them to fellowship with that to fellowship with them. And certain things to fellowship with hinders my fellowship with God. So I guard what I fellowship with. Because the fellowship of God is more precious to me than anything. The anointing moving in my life and talking to me and giving me answers and it's very valuable to me. I don't have anything I'm not that talented in the flesh. So I've got to have the anointing. Don't look at me in that tone of voice. Used to.
Yes, sir. Amen.
In the flesh, we don't have a lot to offer.
Right.
I mean, if I'm to bring anything to anybody that's a blessing, I got to depend on him because I don't have much in the flesh.
Come on. Yes, sir.
So I can't afford to grieve the Holy Ghost. I can't afford to be causing him to back off of fellowship because the Bible talks about light doesn't fellowship with darkness.
Yeah.
Amen. What fellowship has light with darkness? None. So darkness means Satan and all his realm, sin, all the spirits of this world, the God of this world, Satan and demons and all that. I can't have fellowship with all that. And I don't want to have fellowship with all that. Because I love my fellowship with God. And modern day Christians are confused about this. They just have the idea they can fellowship with the world and fellowship with God. And the Bible says you cannot. 1 Corinthians 10. You cannot be partaker of the Lord's table and partaker of the table of devils. And you can't fellowship. What communion have they that fellowship with devils with God? You can't do it. 1 Corinthians 10, 16 through 22. Read all that and it'll tell you all that. We could go on and on. Many verses talk about that. Now, I'm not talking about you can't be born again because that's the relationship side. The fellowship side is different than the relationship side.
Amen.
So you got to understand the way I'm saying this. But what we're talking about is Enoch, for example, he walked with God. And had fellowship with God and was taken out of some things he had been living in. That's the way I live. That's the way I live. I live in fellowship with God to keep me out of all the stuff everybody else lives in. All right. So 1 John chapter number 1, verse number 3. It says this. That which we have seen and heard. John the Apostle's writing under the anointing of the Spirit, that which we have seen and heard. He walked with Jesus, fellowshiped with Jesus in the flesh. So that's what he's talking about. And gotten much revelation and insight from that time of being with Jesus. That which we have seen and heard declare we unto you. Now why? That you also may have fellowship with us. Do you get that? And truly, our fellowship is with the Father and with His Son, Jesus Christ. All right, so this verse says we have fellowship with the Father and with the Son, Jesus. There are other verses talk about communion of the Holy Ghost, meaning communion, fellowship means, communion means fellowship. We have fellowship with the Godhead is what he said. And being that we have fellowship with the Godhead, others who have fellowship with the Godhead and have knowledge of Him, and walk with Him, we have fellowship with them too.
Yeah.
Amen. I said amen.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
So we see here, if you look up the word fellowship means to share in something in common with another. So if you and I know the Lord and fellowship with Him and share things. He shares things with us. God, see, he's love. He wants to share. He doesn't just have all these things and say, nope, it's not for anybody else. No, He wants to share. He's love. And He wants, and fellowship is one way He shares them. And some precious truths, precious answers. I mean, a word in season to give you exactly what you need to hear. That's in the presence of God. That's in your fellowship with God. I don't know. I don't understand Christians who just are always needy. I'm needy too, but I get my needs answered every day. Every day I'm getting help. I'm getting direction. Hallelujah. God doesn't have needs. He's got answers. He's got a supply for your life, every area of your life.
Amen.
And you can go to the throne of grace, and you've been invited there, a royal invitation to come there, and you can go and get your answers. If you don't know how to do that, keep meditating on what we're preaching. But it says that the word fellowship in the original Greek means to share something in common with another. And particularly, we're talking about spiritual things, of course. And but the Bible talks about in Philippians 2, 1, it talks about the fellowship of the Spirit. There are spiritual things that the Holy Ghost wants to share with us. Jesus said, whenever the Spirit of truth has come, He'll guide you into all truth. And there are things He wants to share. Answers.
Yes, sir.
Right on time words. Man, there is nothing like an answer. I mean, excuse me, I might go fellowship with God right now. You know what I'm talking about? But there are precious things that only come through fellowship of the Spirit. And the thing about this is to be a part of your daily routine. Really, it's not just a time in the morning, it's all day long. Man, I go through my day and I'll be like, thank you, Father. Well, what about that? What about this? What about that? What do you think about this? What do you think about that? It's not what I think. What do you think about this? I want to think like you, because how can two walk together except they be agreed? So I want to be agreed with you. I want to walk with you. And so if you think one way and I think a different way, that's going to hinder our fellowship. So what do you think about that? Sometimes he said, I really like that. And then before he said it, I didn't. And I say, yeah, I do too now. Now that you say it, I do too. Sometimes he says, I don't like that. I don't want you to do that anymore. And I say, nah, I hate it too. I never did like that. Because me and him are one, man. I'm not letting anything get between us. If I find something, I get rid of it. I've been convicted of things before, and I'm like, oh, yeah, Jesus, okay, that's done. We're done with that right there. We're done. And that's how you stay in good fellowship. It's called walking in the light. But here's the thing. He said here in 1 John 1, 3, we're sharing these things so that you can have fellowship with us. The thing about fellowship is, have you ever thought about this? God created man originally in the garden. Are you here tonight? Are you ready? He created man to fellowship with him. Because, I mean, you read about it, and God made man in his image, so forth and so on. And then he came in the cool of the evening, the Bible said, and would walk with Adam and talk with him. So what did he make Adam for? He made him to fellowship with him. Wow, God wanted somebody to fellowship with.
Yes,
isn't that an amazing thought?
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
God himself longs for your fellowship.
Yes, sir.
Praise the Lord.
Yes,
so we know God made man to fellowship with. He gave him an assignment. His assignment was to take dominion, you know, and so forth. But so many people are duty-minded and not fellowship-minded.
Yes,
we need to be fellowship-minded and then do our duty. But, you know, it's a Mary Martha kind of thing. But so we realize that God made man to fellowship. But you notice, he said, even though God made Adam and Adam had fellowship, because he's in right standing, you read that through the New Testament, and then he fell, sin caused him to fall and lose that fellowship, but he was created in right fellowship. But even before he fell, he had fellowship with God. And before he fell, God said, it's not good that man be alone. You ever notice that?
Yes, sir.
It's not good that man be alone.
Yes, sir.
Here's man has fellowship with the Creator himself, the one is the source of all things, has fellowship with the God of heaven, the God of the universe, the one who made all things, who's got everything, got every answer. And God said, it's still not good that man be alone. That's an interesting thought. So what does that basically tell us? That basically tells us that you need more than just fellowship with God. God said so.
Now,
somebody said, well, that's talking about marriage. Yeah, but there's more to it than just marriage. He's basically, you know, basically God never planned for any man to be an island to himself. We need one another. We need other people. And I'll tell you why. We need other people who know him too.
Yes, that's right.
Because I'm telling you something about God. It's going to take eternity. Because in the ages and eons to come, he's going to show himself. Ephesians 2 says. He might show the riches of his grace. It's going to take forever to take him all in. So you have fellowship with God and you're seeing aspects of him and sides to him and truths about him and his character and his nature. And you're overwhelmed like, whoa, glory to God. And you're seeing him in certain ways. And then you fellowship with somebody else who's also getting to know him. And God's revealing himself to them in ways that he hasn't yet, you haven't yet seen in him yourself. And because they're getting to know him and you're getting to know him, whenever you and that person get together, now you get to know him better than you ever have known him. I do not understand Christians who like the fellowship of the world more than the fellowship of the people of God. I just don't understand them. I'm hungry for God. Therefore, I'm hungry to be around the people of God. Because they're getting to know him. The world's not getting to know him. They don't care. They're not interested. They're not loyal to him. The truths that I hold so dear are not precious to them. I don't understand people that love those people. We love the sinner. I don't mean that. But I mean love their fellowship. Love to be around them. I like to be around people that are getting to know him, God, better than me. You know, anybody that's not hungry... I'm talking about spiritual things now. But well, I'll use a natural illustration. A person that's not hungry physically has either stopped growing or they're sick. You ever gotten some bug in your stomach and you didn't have any appetite for food? Something's not right. Well, people that aren't hungry spiritually for fellowship with God and fellowship with other believers, something's not right.
Good.
Something not right. They're not healthy spiritually.
That's good.
Now, in Acts chapter number 4, you can just write this down. We won't go there. But it says something interesting here. In Acts chapter 4, I think I'm right. Let me check here. Acts chapter 2, verse number 42, it says about the local church, they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship and in breaking of bread and in prayers. Say that out loud. Steadfastly they continued in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship and in breaking of bread and in prayers. Now this is a local church. This is a local church. Notice what is to be a part of a local church. We're to be sitting under the Word of God. That's doctrine means teaching. We're to be sitting under the Word of God. And notice it says second. Notice the second thing it says. Fellowship. And in breaking of bread, thank God for food, times to get together, and in prayers. So a local church is to be involved in all those things. A healthy local church has all of that. Something's wrong whenever a pastor dismisses a congregation within 2 minutes, the auditorium's empty. That's not healthy. And you and I should seek to contribute to the health of the church by being hungry for fellowship with other believers of like precious faith, people of the Spirit, people of the Word, people who are walking with God. We should be hungry for fellowship with those individuals. Amen. So I'm going to contribute to the local church. You contribute to the local church by being hungry. Amen. There's a summons inside of every believer for this. My spirit craves this. Amen. Amen. Why is it that some people, they just do their duty on Sunday and they're not interested in talking about spiritual things the rest of the week? Something's not right. I crave this all the time. There's times I got things I got to do. I got, business to take care of, work to do, so forth and so on. But I'm telling you, when I get done and and somebody wants to fellowship, hey, here am I.
Come on now.
Amen. Tell me I'm preaching all right. Don't be distracted by the sirens and stuff. Everything's going to be all right. We'll know if anything. Praise the Lord. All right. So say I'm interested in fellowship. Now, real people of faith, one of the things they do is they guard their fellowship. Hebrews 11 talks about Moses, Hebrews 11:24-26, when he was come to years, he refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter, choosing rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season. For he esteemed the reproaches of Christ greater riches than the treasure in Egypt. He had respect unto the recompense of the reward. All that, you could summarize all of that by saying Moses chose, because Moses was a man of faith, it says by faith Moses. Because Moses was a man of faith, he chose the fellowship with the people of God. Even at the expense of losing a very high position in the kingdom of Pharaoh, in Egypt government. He said, it's worth nothing to me compared to the fellowship with the people of God. Isn't that an interesting thought? So you could basically say he chose spiritual people and spiritual things over fleshly people and fleshly things. Isn't that right? I said that's exactly what Moses did. And that's what faith people today do too. Faith still chooses the fellowship of the people of God. Doesn't mean we don't ever see sinners or we don't ever interact with them. It's just that, that spiritual things, we can't interact with those spiritual things. They're sharing amongst themselves because they're in fellowship with all kinds of other spirits.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
And if you don't recognize it, it's because you're dull spiritually. A lot of our culture is just harassed and tormented with all kinds of perversions and all kinds of thoughts and wrong thinking and just all sorts of junk. I didn't say we don't minister to them. We do. But we don't have fellowship. Ministry and fellowship is two different things. Amen. All right. So tell your neighbor he's getting started now. You can go ahead and come to church. I'm telling you, the devil hates good relationships and he hates good fellowship. He hates it. Because, I'll be honest with you, because there's an exchange of strength and wisdom and answers in it. And he hates all of that. He doesn't like that all happening. And he'll bid high for you, trying to keep you separated from fellowship with the people of God. He's trying to always destroy fellowship. He's always trying to destroy unity. Really, Ephesians 4:16, and we're getting to something here, but Ephesians 4:16 says that every joint supplieth. The body of Christ is made up, just like a physical body, of different members. And those members, those parts of the body, are joined together. And where the joint, where the joinings are, is a supply. A supply of spiritual things. Amen. If God has joined you to a part of the body of Christ, you should protect that divine connection. Because there's a supply of spiritual things there for you. That's what that verse is saying. So really, we're dependent on one another. Somebody said, I just depend on the Lord. I don't need anybody else. It sounds spiritual, but it's unscriptural. We're dependent on one another. Now, we don't count each other as our source. God is our source. We're looking to Him for all things. But if you and I understand the way He works, many times when we're looking to Him, He'll connect us with other members in the body that has what we need.
Yes, sir.
That member is not the source of what we need, but they are an avenue through which He brings what we need. So the difference between God, there's a difference between a source and an avenue. God's our source, but He brings things to us in many different ways. And how we esteem those connections determines how well we do in spiritual things so many times. Amen. So much of the time, God uses other members to bring us things that we need. And if you're cut off from the supply line of the life of God that God wants you to receive from other members of the body of Christ, you're cut off from certain things that those connections will bring into your life. Amen. Things you and I need. We'll get into that here more in a minute. So let's look at some scriptural things that will enhance your fellowship with other believers. Because I've been around for a few days, and I've observed some Christians don't know how to fellowship. So we're going to look at some practical things tonight. Would that be all right? Some Christians don't know how to fellowship. What? Don't know how to fellowship? Well, just hold on. You'll understand as we go. All right. So we need this. God says not good for us to be alone. Hallelujah. All right. Look, go over to, before we get there, look at Malachi chapter number 3. Malachi, I want you to turn to this one. I don't know how many of you are aware of this verse, so I want you to turn to it. Don't know if we've shared much of it. Malachi chapter 3, verses 16 through 17. Then they that feared the Lord spoke often one to another. Feared the Lord means reverence God. They spoke often one to another, and the Lord hearkened and heard it. And a book of remembrance was written before him for them that feared the Lord. In other words, a record was written down of what they talked about. And that thought upon his name. And they shall be mine. This is verse 17. They shall be mine, saith the Lord of hosts, in that day when I make up my jewels. And then he goes on and says some other things. Now the word jewels here in the Hebrew means a rare and valuable treasure. So he's saying, right in the context of you and I getting together and talking over the things of God, rich things of God, he's basically saying God highly values that. I'll be honest with you. I'll tell you some experience. Well, I'll tell you. I won't take time to get into experiences, but I'll tell you what I have noticed happens when real good, rich fellowship starts happening between two members of the body of Christ. What happens is the anointing starts manifesting. Amen. That's him getting in the middle of that. He likes that. He's drawn to that.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Amen. And that's what he's talking about here. He's talking about how precious this is to God. So precious, he gets right in the middle of it. Amen. And he blesses it with his presence. Oh, don't look at me like you don't know what I'm talking about. You're missing half your life if you don't know what I'm talking about. The anointing shows up. And I've gotten many good things from God by these times of fellowship with other believers, people of the Spirit. In fact, my spirit craves it.
Amen.
Forget about going to bed when I'm tired. Forget about eating when I'm hungry.
Come on.
I get caught up in this and I forget to eat and I forget to sleep. Because it's so nourishing to my spirit.
That's right.
Yeah.
Whether you know it or not, you need it.
Yes, sir.
Now we have it with God. But we need this with one another. God says it's not good to man be alone.
That's right.
Amen. I've had times with other ministers. I just kind of wanted to start getting a hold of the chair. I wasn't sure if I was going to rapture or not. I thought maybe I was going to have an Enoch, you know, have an Enoch experience. My, wow, glory be to God, hallelujah. Getting answers, getting revelation. Amen. I've had times it got so rich and become so aware of the presence of God, I just stopped and I said, hey. Because I knew this verse, but the Spirit brought this verse back to me. And I said, this conversation is being recorded in heaven for all eternity to have a record of it. Because it is so anointed and full of God.
Come on.
Amen. You ever remember that story, that book, I don't remember the name of the book, but Richard Sigmund's book? My Time in Heaven. Yeah, I was thinking that's what it was. But remember, he said there are places where there are memorials where events are shown over and over again in heaven. I believe there's also records of conversations. Times where believers got together in fellowship and God came and revealed himself in the midst of them and began to show them himself. And they began to see God in ways they hadn't seen him. And it was so rich. Heaven said, God said, angel, write that down. I want that recorded for all eternity.
Amen.
Hallelujah. So for all eternity, people can read that and get to know God better. And for all eternity, it'll bring glory to God. Woo, glory. If you haven't participated in one of those conversations, it's more than conversation, it's fellowship. Where there's an exchange of rich things spiritually between believers. If you haven't participated in that, seek that out. Seek that out. Now, okay, how can you get better at that? Number one, Amos 3:3. How can two walk together except they be agreed? Number one, to fellowship with someone that you want to fellowship with. Now, we're assuming here, we're talking about, this is true about natural things too. But you can't have, in the natural, you can't have good conversations with people that they disagree with you about something.
Yeah.
I mean, people can hardly talk about politics anymore because, I mean, it's just division.
It's true. Yeah.
There's no agreement. I mean, you know, in certain areas.
Yeah. Yeah.
So, but we're not talking about natural things. We're talking about spiritual things here. And so to really have good fellowship with someone, you've got to agree on what the Word says about God. Amen. There are degrees of fellowship.
Yes.
There are degrees of agreement.
Yeah.
So there are degrees of fellowship.
Yeah.
Less agreement, less fellowship.
Right.
I mean, you can go in there and talk a little bit about something, but, you know, after a while it just gets divisive.
Yeah.
Yep.
So you just change and talk about the kids or something, you know.
Yes, sir.
You know what I'm talking about. But the more agreement, the closer the fellowship. And there is a fellowship of the Spirit, and there is a fellowship of the faith, of people of faith. The Bible talks about those, and it says we're to feed on that, we're to emphasize that. And so there's agreement, there's fellowship to the degree of people's minds being renewed. There's fellowship on agreement, and I'll tell you, this is more important than the mind being renewed. Agreement. There's fellowship around people's hunger level. If you're hungry for something that I'm not hungry for, spiritually, I'm talking about, well then, you know, what's valuable to you and important to you to sit and talk about is not valuable to me at all. I want to talk about NASCAR, or I want to talk about something in the natural, or sports, or something like that, and you want to talk about the things of God. Well, to me, I'm not that interested. I'm just saying if that were so. That's not so. But if I were not that interested in spiritual things, or I wasn't loyal to them, or I didn't even know anything about them, but I'm not even hungry for them, you can't really fellowship with me over that. But somebody else that's hungry for it, you can have rich fellowship. Amen. Even if two people's minds aren't equally as renewed as each other's, the hunger will override all of that.
Yes, sir. That's good.
So if you want to be in good fellowship with people, because there are spiritual people that others would like to have fellowship with, but they don't know why that it's hard to fellowship with them. Well, because of what I'm talking about here.
Yes, sir.
It's important a little bit, but not as important as the other person.
Yes, sir.
Amen. So, you know, and then in the human relationship, there's degrees of fellowship based on how much, you know, how much has gotten into the relationship to kind of create a division and how much of that's been dealt with. God is never wrong. So if he's dealing with you about something, you want fellowship with God, and he's dealing with you about something, you can't just override it and have good fellowship. That's going to hinder your fellowship with God. Amen.
Amen.
Same is true with a relationship in the natural. So, praise the Lord. Let's go on here a little bit and look at some of this. You've got to realize and understand that concerning fellowship with other sold out believers, that they got, because, now let me back up. Sometimes people want fellowship, greater fellowship, with people that are spiritual.
Yeah. Yeah.
They want time to receive from them and so forth and so on.
Yeah.
And they're drawn towards that.
Yes.
Amen? Amen? And so, but to fellowship with them, you have to realize how, because you I'm trying to get somewhere, but I got to keep backing up.
Yeah.
Because you can recognize people that know God better than you do.
Yeah.
I know those people. I know people that know God better than me. You know, and whenever other people are around, I'm more interested in their fellowship than everybody else's. Because I'm hungry for what they know. I'm hungry to know God like they know God. Isn't that right? But to have good fellowship with them, they got, you got to realize this, they got to where they are in God by cutting off what God didn't like. Y'all still glad you came? By cutting off. See, no man draws near to God without God saying, okay, I'm coming to fellowship with you, but deal with this. Something fleshly, something that he doesn't like. Now, he might not deal with everything yet because you're not ready to handle everything yet. But he'll deal with you to degrees that you can receive it. And they got to, and they kept on walking closer to God and dealing with what he said and getting closer to God and dealing with what he said and walking in the light. You can't, how many of you know the Bible said God is light? You have to walk in the light to walk with God. That's 1 John also, 1 John chapter number 1. So the more you get closer to him, the more he's going to, the light will illuminate things he doesn't like. So when you find somebody you want to fellowship with because you know they, you can see they know God better than you and you want to get to know God and so you want to fellowship with them, realize they got to where they are by dealing with what God dealt with them to cut off. Yes. Now why am I saying that? Because they now are just not interested in what people who don't walk close to God are interested in. Because their highest desire is fellowship with God, and their inward man keeps calling out for that, and so they keep dealing with things and cutting off things that other people think are amazing and wonderful, and to them they're worth nothing. Am I making any sense? So to have fellowship with them over the rich spiritual things that they walk in and they carry, your inward man has to be able to, has to crave and hunger and a place in God like that. And you have to be willing to cut things off. You have to be willing to lay aside things that aren't important anymore to God. I don't know. Am I making any sense?
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
Amen. To enhance fellowship with those who know God, don't fellowship with things that they won't fellowship with. I've never shared some of these things, but these are rich spiritual things that I examine in my life. Now, you might say, well, you know, I have some things over here that I'm still fellowshipping with, but you know, that was then, you know, last night, and I'm not doing it now. I want to fellowship with these people now. Well, let me just explain something here. Maybe you don't understand. Don't think that what you fellowship with in private is incensed by those who have good fellowship with God when you get around them in public. Amen. And if they don't like fellowshipping with that, then that's going to hinder your fellowship with them.
Yes, sir. That's so good.
Because their fellowship with God is more valuable.
Yeah. Come on.
Some of you are looking at me real funny. God demands to be alone in fellowship. He won't fellowship with other spirits. Bible said so. Amen. Woo, glory. Some of you are kind of looking at me funny. What I'm interested in, what my affections are set on, what I'm loyal to, is in a different place than it has ever been in my life. And that basically affects who I fellowship with. Amen?
Amen.
So, fellowship with God is only possible according to how much you have in common with him. And whenever he says, I don't like that, and we hold to that, we're going to do that at the expense of our fellowship with him.
Yeah.
Now, we can say we have good fellowship with him, but there are also verses that say people who say they have good fellowship with God and walk in darkness, they lie.
Yes, that's right.
Amen. Well, praise the Lord. So, when it comes to fellowshipping with other believers, they got to where they are by continuing to walk in more light and out of more darkness. More and more out of darkness, more and more out of their own thinking, more and more out of the flesh, more and more out of perversions of the world, all sorts of fleshly bondages and habits and things like that. Because as they got closer to the light shined up, shined on that, and God said, I don't like that. That's holding you in bondage. I don't like that.
Come on.
So they kept cutting it off, and they kept getting closer and closer to God. So if you want to fellowship with them, keep cutting things off. Well, it's all good anyhow. So praise the Lord. We could take a lot more time. Let's go over to John 15 for time's sake here. Let's get to the one I really wanted to spend the last part of our time here with. Jesus in John 15 talked about the vine and the branches. Remember that?
Yeah.
Now, the initial connection, this Jesus is the vine, you remember, and we are the branches. That's the illustration. And he talks about we're to remain in him. The new birth is our initial connection to him. Where he that is joined to the Lord is one spirit. Remember, if we're born again, we're made a new creation. And if any man be in Christ, he's a new creation. So any man who's in Christ, he comes into this divine connection with God. He's got a relationship with God. But that's not the end of the vine, the parable of the vine and the branches. He said, maintain. King James says, abide in me. Other translations say, maintain this living union with me. That's talking about ongoing fellowship.
Yes.
Amen. Amen. Yes, any man that's born again is in him. But there is, you can be born again and have the life of God in you because you're born again, but not have enough continually flowing into you through fellowship that you can actually produce anything. Because he said, without me you can do nothing. He said, I'm the vine, ye the branches. And he said, he that abideth in me bears much fruit.
Yeah.
Fruit grows on the branches. But he's basically saying, you can be born again and have life in you, but unless you maintain this living connection with me through fellowship, you won't have any life. You got life in you, but you won't have life flowing through you because you're not drawing from the vine. Therefore, you can't produce anything. No fruit. No fruit in spirit, in like, for example, the fruit of the Spirit. No fruit, prayer fruit. No victories. No healings. Anything that life will do in your life. The life of God that's in the vine can be drawn upon to produce in your life. Anything it can produce, which is everything in the kingdom of God, is produced through maintaining this living connection. Strong faith is not just by reading Bible verses. It's by fellowshipping with those verses.
Amen.
Amen. People think it's just all meditating in the Word is just all mental. It's not. Your spirit is involved. It's communing. It's fellowshipping with the truths of that verse. It's communing with the one who wrote that verse. The one who said it. All right. So John 15, after Jesus shares so many of these truths here, he says this. Notice in verse number 11. After all these truths, he said, these things have I spoken unto you, that my joy might remain in you, and that your joy might be full. Oh, if you have ever meditated on that verse, there's a lot right there. Let's look at it a minute. Jesus is talking about fellowship, the vine and the branches, right? And here, whether it be with God or with other believers, he gives us a principle of rich fellowship. And he says this, I've spoken these things unto you that my joy might remain in you. Remember, that's exactly what John said over there in 1 John 1. He said, that which we've heard and received, we share it with you that we might have fellowship with you.
Yes,
you're with me? So we're talking not now about fellowship with God. We're talking about fellowship between us. Between us and other believers. So he's saying, I'm sharing these things. Of course, Jesus initially shares them. But see, whenever he shares things with you, notice what he said, I'm sharing these things that my joy might remain in you. So whatever he shares brings joy. Isn't that right? And you get excited about it. Praise the Lord. So what is the point? What's the principle of fellowship here that we need to get out of this verse? The truth is this. Sharing joyful things enhances fellowship.
Oh,
Now, what do I mean by that? Well, when you go to fellowship with somebody and they're always bringing up problems, hurts, trials, complaints, criticism, their problem, how hard life is, it hinders your fellowship with them. Now, I don't mean that that happens, that won't happen at times, because it does, because people are going through something, but I'm talking about people who just live there. You understand what I'm talking about? Y'all still with me? Keep pulling. So, really what he's saying is someone is always bringing those things up. They're hindering their fellowship with you, even with other believers, whether they realize it or not. Because rich fellowship is not, it does not happen around a complaint. Or just somebody that's always talking critically. The Bible actually says, Paul actually wrote to the church at Corinth and says those that cause divisions have no fellowship with them. In other words, people that's always saying, well, did you know, this department head, they did this, and just critical, just spreading strife and disunity. That hinders fellowship. Not supposed to have any fellowship with them. Whoa. So, in fellowship, there's an exchange. A sharing together. That's what it means, to share in common. And when people have nothing to share that is edifying, that is spiritually nourishing, but is only trying to take something out of you because it's criticism, it's a complaint, it's unbelief, it's, you name the devil's favorite thing. Then you can't really have fellowship with that. Because in fellowship there's an exchange of love and joy. You understand? And if people want to have richer fellowship with God or others, then they need to learn to cut out everything else out of the conversation. I'm going to pop the clutch before I go here tonight. Some people are not good at fellowship at all. You sit down and you start talking and it starts turning toward the things of God. And you're saying, okay, here we go. So you open your heart up a little bit, and they open their heart up a little bit, except what's in their heart is nothing but criticism, nothing but a complaint, and how God's not coming through for me, and so forth and so on.
Come on.
And that's the end of the fellowship. Now it turns to ministry. You know what I mean? And ministry is a one-way street, not a two-way street. And ministry is scriptural, don't misunderstand me. But I'm just talking about fellowship. I'm just saying that's not fellowship. Okay, so if you'll hold on with me, I'll actually get out what I have in my heart here to get out. So fellowship is based on sharing joyful things. In other words, it's enhanced by sharing joyful things. Talking about problems all the time makes people want you not to fellowship, want to not fellowship with you. It's the truth.
Yes, sir.
Suck it up and look at me and say amen or something. I'm not saying that people don't go through things. They don't need ministry. But I'm talking about people that are always that way. You don't even want to ask them how you're doing anymore because they're going to tell you. You just say hi. You don't even open the door. Because the next thing comes out of their mouth is going to be a complaint. Some kind of unbelief, some sort of criticism, something like that. And you just don't have any fellowship with you. And listen, if you have trouble having good fellowship with other believers, check up on this. Because people just say hi and kind of pass you by. Why didn't they invite me out for lunch? They invite so-and-so. Well, maybe they got tired of listening to you.
Come on now.
Well, the Lord's the same way. What? He wants to share joyful things with you. He has joyful things to share with you. Amen. Amen. And he wants you to hear that. He said, these things have I spoken unto you that my joy might remain in you. He wants you to hear what he has to say and then share back with him the joy you got from what he shared with you. Whenever he shares something with you, you go, oh, whoa, yeah, woo, God, yeah. Look at that, Lord. Look what you said. Look at that. You said, oh, my, sookie, yeah. You want to talk about fellowship rising?
Yeah.
Do that rather than when God shares the word with you, something joyful, you look at it and go, yeah, but I know, but it's just, you don't know what the devil's been doing. And what the, he's tired of hearing what the devil's been saying.
Yeah.
He shared something joyful with you so that his joy would be in you. And you just set it aside and returned a complaint. Talked about what the devil's doing. You've just hindered your ongoing fellowship with him. Amen. So if he shares a joyful word with you that addresses your problem, and you respond back with a complaint, talk more about your problem, what the devil's been saying, you've just stopped the fellowship right there. This is one reason why a lot of Christians are deficient spiritually. They're not very skilled at fellowshipping with God or other believers. This is the reason. They're always complaining, criticizing, bringing up problems or something like that. Woo, praise the Lord. And then they cease being a person they can fellowship with and become a ministry project. Some people are ministry projects their whole life. You're not supposed to be a ministry project your whole life. I didn't say you don't ever need ministry. I'm just saying always needy, always needy, always needy. Ministry's proper when it's needed, isn't that right? But I'm just saying that's not fellowship. Fellowship is an exercise in giving and receiving. When someone stops sharing anything that's a blessing that will enrich others, well, then the fellowship stops. Amen?
Amen.
It's no longer a two-way thing now. Now it's a one-way thing. A person who's always needed. You want to go home now or you want to hear the rest of this? A person who is always needy is selfish. Well, Pastor, I didn't come for all this. I did want to stay home tonight. I thought about it. Now I think maybe I should have. I'll say it again. A person who is always needy is selfish. When they're around you and they're always needy, they're always talking about their needs, their hurts, their woom bop and zoom bop and all their all that's going on. They aren't thinking about the fact that the person they are talking to has needs also. You know what I'm talking about? Or even if they don't, even if they have some great blessing that's taking place in their life, they can't even rejoice over somebody else's blessings because they're so focused on their need.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
Because they're selfish. Isn't that right?
Yes, sir.
That hinders fellowship. Self-centeredness hinders fellowship. Self-centeredness hinders fellowship.
Yes, it does.
Amen. So, but if the one that they are fellowshipping with has has needs, but they're not talking about them because their eyes are on God. They've learned to look to God as their source. Amen. And not to look to man. But they've also learned that rich fellowship with others is one avenue that God will use to get those needs met. And they don't want to hinder that flow of fellowship by turning all needy. Come on now. Complaining and talking about how hard. Because some people fellowship and they one person starts complaining. The other one tries to outdo them with their complaint. Oh yeah, you got problems? Let me tell you about my problems. It gets into a slugfest. Who's got the biggest problems? You know how many of you know the fellowship stopped way back there whenever the first person brought up their problems. Amen. Learn not to look to people for your needs to be met. You'll find that opens the door for God, for the opportunity for God to use other people. But you won't push people away from you in the process of God using them by being all needy. Don't miss what I'm saying. I'm talking about learning to fellowship. The Lord just put it in my heart. Teach them how to fellowship. I can't get it all out tonight, but
Amen.
When your eyes are on the Lord, your faith is in Him and not a person, that opens, and so therefore there's no pressure on you. You know, like we're talking and I start saying, you know, I really need, really. See, I'm putting pressure on Him. And that just shuts down the fellowship, which was a source. That fellowship could be a source of my very... God could use the fellowship, but He can't use me putting pressure on Him.
Come on.
Well, over here. Anybody get anything out of there? People could take this all wrong and think ministry's wrong. I'm not talking about ministry being wrong. I'm talking about fellowship tonight. Which, if people knew how to do this properly, a lot of ministry wouldn't be necessary. Because this would produce all their answers. Fellowship with God, number one. Fellowship with other believers, number two. And they might not even tell the person, I just got my answer. Be fine to do that, but you might not even tell them. But you walked out, and they the other person never knew. They just, I got my answer, got my answer.
Amen, yeah.
Hallelujah. It's also true about learning fellowship with God. If the only time you go to God is with problems, you know what I mean? When you got a problem you got to bring to Him, you'll do so at the expense of having good fellowship with Him. If you want to enrich fellowship with God, go to Him like Jeremiah. Go over to Jeremiah and we'll close this down. Jeremiah 15:16. Praise the Lord. Jeremiah 15, verse number 16. I think you probably know this verse, but God showed me some light on it. I was meditating on this, and this verse came up, and I thought, oh, I see it. Jeremiah 15:16. Thy words were found, and I did eat them, and they were unto me the sadness and sorrow of mine heart. No, they were unto me the joy and rejoicing of my heart. Woo-hoo. So really, Jeremiah found the word that answered a need he had, and it thrilled him. Thrilled him. He got thrilled about it on the inside. So he went to God with his newfound joy and shared it with God in fellowship. Didn't that what he did? Praise the Lord. So learn to go to God with the word that He should, that the word that He gave to you that thrills you. Amen. So go to Him and say, God, look at what you said. Look. And just go over with Him and over with Him. Lord, you said, That thrills me. Whoa, that thrills me. I want you to know that you said right here, that's my answer. That's my answer. And you just keep telling Him about it, And guess what He's going to do? He's going to start telling you more about it.
Yeah.
He said, oh, you like that? Let me show you this. And that's fellowship because it is an exchange of joy.
Yes.
I said, there's an exchange of joy. You do that properly and the anointing will get in the middle of that and break yokes. Jesus, how do I talk about it? How do I explain what happened?
Yeah.
It's just that all the problems melt away and you got your answers. Even before you see it in the natural, you're just fully satisfied. Amen. Hallelujah. So share the joy with Him that He shared with you in His word. You'll find the level of your fellowship will go through the roof with Him. Hallelujah. I've had times. Can I be honest, Lord? I'll be honest. You wouldn't want a pastor to lie, would you?
No, sir.
I've had times where thing after thing after thing was needed, and this needed this, and this person needed that, and this person needed that. And it went for a period of time, and then somebody shared a good testimony with me. Yeah. Something God did here at the church, through our ministry, whatever. And I'm like, well, glory! Somebody is not needy.
Come on. Yeah. Come on. Yeah.
Don't look at me in that tone of voice.
Thank you, Lord.
When we get around Pastor Nancy, we do not talk about our troubles. We do not talk about our problems. We do not talk about our needs. We don't ask millions of heady questions. What about this? What about that? What about that? We just start fellowshipping. What she wants to talk about, and we just share what God shares with us while she's sharing with us, and we just start going, and before we know it, we walk home and got all our answers.
Amen.
And there was no mooching. That made her go home and go, I don't want them coming around anymore. Don't look at me in that tone of voice. We're growing up around here. Amen. Don't go come around, Pastor, and just keep going on and on about what the devil says and about what you feel like. It's a bit dishonorable to all the word we've preached. Well, did I actually say that? Just take what we're preaching and come and say, whoa, you know what? Praise God. That's my answer. Praise God. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Thank you for sharing that, Pastor.
Yes.
How you doing? Good, 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 good. The word. I just got the word. I'm good. I'm good. I'm good.
Yes.
Don't go on and on about what the devil. We just got done with a good service. Somebody comes up, well, the devil, you know, this and that. Yeah, the devil. I can't have fellowship with you. I can minister to you. But I go home and my spirit's longing for some of this kind of conversation where the anointing gets into it. Just, amen. Hallelujah. Learn to go to God with rejoicing in your mouth over what he said. You'll find your fellowship with him will go through the roof. Hallelujah. So those are some principles. There's more about how to have good fellowship with God. If you do it properly, you fellowship with God properly, you fellowship with other believers properly, you'll find the anointing will manifest right in the middle of those conversations. I've had conversations. I told some pastors this, a couple of pastors, I said, because their church was hard to preach in, for whatever reason. I'm not here to criticize, I'm just saying that's the way it was. And but then you get with the pastor afterwards at a meal, sit down and have a meal together, and they'd start talking, and you start talking, and fellowship starts happening, and man, you get going, and revelation is rolling, and answers are rolling, and so forth. I told a couple of pastors, I said, hey, I think I'm going to record these conversations and put them out on my tape series, because this is much better than what we got out in the service. Hallelujah. Amen. Can I just give you an illustration, a recent illustration of this? I enjoy preaching, just me preaching, but did anybody watch when Pastor Ike and I got on the Nigerian Ministers Conference together? Did you notice any difference?
Yes.
That's because that was more than just preaching, that was fellowship. That's fellowship. And I go back over those same truths still today, rich truths, because, boy, they were just flowing.
Yeah, amen.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
You need to seek that out with other believers. In fact, I just dare say you're spiritually not healthy like you should be unless you are seeking that out and getting that. Hallelujah. And I'm not just talking about after services. I mean, fellowship with people, getting together for meals and people that are hungry for the same things you're hungry for. Amen. Glory to God. And don't just talk about your favorite sport the whole night or whatever. Find spiritual truths and start working it. Start meditating on it together. Like an old cow, ruminate. Stand with me. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Glory to God. Glory. My spirit craves this. You know, with ministers need ministers' fellowship. And so I look forward to camp meeting. The services are great.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
But the back table, oh, sookie, sookie.
Hallelujah.
Ah, glory to God.
Hallelujah.
Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Why don't we just examine our lives in these areas? You know, here at the church, we have many helps ministry positions and, you know, leadership positions, and we work together, and there's a limited amount of fellowship in that, isn't there? There's a lot of goodness in that. But we need to have times where it's not just that. There's no project to do. We're not getting together for a project or doing this work. Now, don't misunderstand. We got work to do because the work of God needs to keep going forward. But we need times beyond that, is what I'm saying. Whether we're not working on something together and talking about what needs to be done or how it's going to be done, but we just get together and just fellowship over the things of God.
Amen.
Get good at that.
Amen.
Let's enhance that. Let's do better at that. What do you say?
Yes, sir.
Hallelujah. And you've learned some pointers tonight about how to do that better.
Amen.
How to do that better. There's a lot more, but it takes faith to fellowship. It takes, you know, so forth and so on. But let's just practice these things and keep on going. Amen?
Amen.
Anybody enjoy fellowshipping like I do?
Yes.
Yeah. Let's pursue what our heart is hungry for.